Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Fortress in Brooklyn, Race, Real Estate, and the Making of Hasidic Williamsburg by Nathaniel Deutsch and Michael Casper. Narrated by Stephen J. Cohen. I want a fortress to remain here. The Satmar Rebbe, Yoel Teitelbaum. Introduction. An American Epic. The streets of Williamsburg were not paved with gold, as early waves of immigrants had dreamed, nor did they contaminate those who walked upon them, as the Hasidim had feared before they arrived as refugees from war-torn Europe. Instead, their names evoked a different mythology, one more redolent of that other place called Williamsburg, located a world away in Virginia, rather than Brooklyn. George Taylor, James Wilson, Caesar Rodney, Edward Rutledge, John Penn, William Hooper, and more, all signers of the Declaration of Independence, were the men whose names form the street map of South Williamsburg. When these members of the Second Continental Congress met in 1776, they could never have imagined that a community of Yiddish-speaking Hasidic Jews from the hinterlands of Eastern Europe would one day turn the streets honoring them into their own Jerusalem of America, or that these Hasidim would share the same streets, as well as a public housing project named after the Declaration of Independence, with one of the largest Puerto Rican communities in New York City. Members of these two communities, as well as other working-class residents, weathered the city's infamous decline only to grapple later with the dramatic changes wrought by yet another wave of newcomers, who would transform Williamsburg into a global symbol of gentrification. This book explores how a neighborhood named in honor of Jonathan Williams, the grandnephew of Benjamin Franklin, who first surveyed its territory in the early 1800s, became the site of a uniquely American epic of religion, race, class, and above all, reinvention. Like the Puritans who founded New England 300 years earlier, the Hungarian Hasidim who settled in Williamsburg in the 1940s were members of pietistic religious communities whose charismatic leaders railed against the corruption of the world and especially against their insufficiently pious co-religionists. The goal of both was to create biblically grounded utopian settlements that would serve to inspire and chasten those around them. In 1630, while en route to North America from England, the Puritan leader John Winthrop delivered a now famous sermon about what he considered to be the divinely ordained role of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. "We shall find that the God of Israel is among us when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." More than 3 centuries later, in a working-class corner of Brooklyn far removed from the idol of colonial New England, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, one of the founding fathers of Hasidic Williamsburg, sought to create a holy community that would serve as a model for the rest of the Jewish world, and perhaps beyond. Looking back on the early days of Hasidic settlement in Williamsburg, Sender Deutsch, one of Teitelbaum's chief lieutenants, recalled, "Our rabbi emphasized that the mission to repair the entire country was a difficult task, but that it was our duty to try by all measures to protect our camp, and so the first matter at hand was to guard our own vineyard, and then the Holy One would help us to influence near and far." In the post-World War II era, when liberal Jews in the United States were reinventing the Kabbalistic concept tikkun to mean the repair of the world through social justice, civil rights, environmental activism, and so on, Hasidim in Williamsburg employed the same term in a dramatically different sense, to repair their own small corner of Brooklyn and make it a vineyard free from the corrupting influences of the outside world, albeit one that would ideally spur a much wider spiritual renaissance. They would accomplish this not by stressing what they had in common with their fellow Americans or even their fellow Jews, but by doubling down on their differences, large and especially small. As David, a non-Hasidic employee of a large Hasidic-run real estate firm in Brooklyn, put it to us when describing his co-workers, "They are like the Puritans in New England. Some Puritans said you can't eat nuts on Sunday. Others said you can't eat apples on Sunday, and that's why people went and founded Rhode Island." From the late 1940s on, in Williamsburg, elsewhere in Brooklyn, and eventually in satellite communities in upstate New York and New Jersey, Hasidic groups went on to found their own versions of Rhode Island, where they venerated their religious leaders, maintained distinctive customs, and sometimes came into conflict with one another. From the perspective of Hasidic history, this efflorescence represents the second major expansion of the movement, following its earlier spread across the breadth of Eastern Europe, and is part of the globalization of Hasidism that took place in the wake of the Holocaust, with other large communities now located in Los Angeles, Montreal, Buenos Aires, London, Antwerp, and Melbourne, as well as Israel, where Hasidic communities have existed since the 18th century. From the perspective of American Jewish history, the revolution that began in Williamsburg represents a key turning point whose historical impacts have yet to be fully documented or understood, and whose potentially enormous implications for the future of Jews in the United States are only beginning to be appreciated. A Counter History of American Jewry. Histories of Jews in the United States have tended to focus on the waves of Eastern European immigrants who settled in poor urban neighborhoods at the turn of the 20th century before moving on to more middle-class areas of the city and eventually the suburbs beyond. Without a doubt, the classic work of this genre was World of Our Fathers, published by Irving Howe in 1976. Howe told the story of largely working-class Jews from Eastern Europe, many of whom arrived in New York City with a dual passion for socialist politics and secular Yiddish culture that they enthusiastically transplanted to the proverbial Goldene Medine, Golden Land of America. Though some of these Jews had grown up in Hasidic families in the Old Country, most had long since abandoned meticulous observance of the commandments and devotion to a Rebbe, even if the synagogues they established upon arrival and then typically chose not to attend, except for a few occasions a year, remained Orthodox. By World War II, most of the children of these immigrants had embarked on a path of Americanization that would create a gulf between them and the now lost world of their immigrant fathers and mothers. Like the Great Migration of African Americans from the rural South to northern cities, the subject of World of Our Fathers constituted one of the iconic American historical narratives of the 20th century, and it was not surprising when Howe's book received the National Book Award in 1977. Yet, in the late 1940s and 1950s, at precisely the moment when so many Jews in New York City and elsewhere were beginning their exodus to the suburbs, another much less storied wave of Jewish immigrants arrived in Brooklyn. In direct contrast with their more secularized predecessors, most of the Jewish immigrants who settled in Brooklyn neighborhoods such as Williamsburg, Borough Park, and Crown Heights still belonged to Hasidic groups that had refused to come to the United States before the war because they believed that in America, even the water is not kosher and the air can defile a religious man. Rather than the larger, secular Jewish world of our fathers, this post-war wave of Hasidic immigrants went on to establish religious enclaves in Brooklyn that by the end of the 20th century had become by far the fastest-growing segment of the Jewish population in New York City and the vanguard of a much broader demographic trend that promises to radically transform the face of American Jewry by the end of the 21st century. Of all the neighborhoods that became home to large numbers of Hasidim in the post-war period, Williamsburg achieved iconic status in the popular imagination as the Hasidic enclave par excellence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?